Hello, this is Scott Webster with the Android Guys podcast. I'm sitting here with Luke. What's up, Luke?
How's it going?
Doing okay. I'm ready to get in our little time machine.
Yep.
Go back. We don't have to go back as far every time now.
No.
It's getting more and more recent.
The trip is shorter and shorter.
Yeah. This trip is going to be about 6 months shorter than the last one.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Android 2.2,
mm-hmm.
commonly known or affectionately known as Froyo.
Mm-hmm.
Something I realized between episodes here we didn't talk about last episode. We discussed Android 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
That was quickly followed by 2.1, which is almost immediately after. But we didn't talk about it as being eclair.
Mm-hmm.
That was, we'd gone cupcake, donut, eclair, Froyo. We could see that everyone moving started to have an expectation of it's going to have to be some kind of a sweet or something that begins with the next letter.
Right.
So we're going to talk about Froyo, mm-hmm. frozen yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is May 2010, and we'll discuss some of the software features that were being added to Android
mm-hmm.
at that time. And we'll also talk about a couple of devices of the day.
Yep.
And what those capabilities were, some of the hardware just for historical context. But before we do that, Luke, tell me what it was like to live in 2010.
Yeah.
As we got into the summer months.
Yeah. The end of spring of 2010. Getting ready, getting out of school, kids are getting out of school, ready to go see Shrek Forever After.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Or, you know, Shrek 4.
4, right. Yeah. Those feel like, no, man.
Yeah.
You can't do that to me.
Yeah.
What else was at the theater?
But then we also had How to Train Your Dragon, mm-hmm. which is a DreamWorks, you know, CG movie. It was, at that time, one of the best looking films that of CG to come out.
And also was one of the ones where you're just like, I like the story.
Yes.
I'm kind of, this draws me in and I'm not bored. I'm not a dad sitting there going, I'm ready to go whenever this
This isn't
over.
Just a princess and a prince.
Yeah.
And you know, this is dragons. This is fire. This is, it's cool.
Yeah.
Vikings, you know, it's
something we hadn't seen before.
Right.
And
it was great.
So we're talking 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
What else, Luke?
Well, Iron Man 2. Or as I like to call it, the whiplash being wasted on Iron Man movie. Oh.
Man, I was so hyped for him, too.
I know, right? You saw those pictures and
the commercials.
It's like, oh, man.
Formidable opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was whatever. It's Iron Man 2. It's more Iron Man is always fun.
Right.
But
we didn't know what was coming down the road the next decade, but
And then we had instant cult classic, Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
So these have gotten progressively more and more adult themed as we go here. Yeah, Kick-Ass was...
But it was, you know, we were starting to see a lot of superhero movies mm-hmm. and more like...
Adaptations of properties.
Right. And so this was a comic mm-hmm. that was like bloody and violent and...
At times, definitely over the top.
Over the top, for sure. Had things like a little girl beating up men.
Right.
Like, it was a lot
really
of these.
Really beating them up.
Yeah, a lot of these, you know.
Shooting a rocket into a...
Right. And Jim Carrey was in it, which he was incredible.
Right. Was he in the first one? I'm trying to remember. I know he was in the second one. I can't. This is the thing, it's been so long.
I know. Maybe I'm wrong.
And I can't... I know Nicolas Cage, it was the dad.
Oh, that's right.
But I think Jim Carrey was maybe in the second one.
I can't remember now.
I'm conflicted. if you listen to this and you're sitting in your car and you're yelling, so pissed and off you're right now, at us. We deserve it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we started to get a little too far out of our lane. Yeah, we didn't write these notes down.
So
take me out of the theater. Get me back home.
Yeah. So I'm at home after going to see How to Train Your Dragon, and late night I'm getting ready to turn on the TV and I see this goofy looking ginger dude that I haven't seen for years.
Yeah.
He's Conan O'Brien. He makes his first appearance since the Tonight Show finale.
See, and that feels. I mean, he's again now. He's
off the air. Yeah.
That whole thing has happened from the time we're about to talk about to today.
Yeah.
So the Tonight Show, his first appearance since that, and then I know this one because it was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It was the debut of Adventure Time.
Yeah.
And Jake and Finn and BMO.
Yeah.
Ice King.
Bacon pancakes.
Yes. Everything burrito.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My gosh, yes.
So that's where we are in terms of movies, television. And then if I flip on the radio,
yeah,
am I likely going to hear
Hey Soul Sister by Train, you know, that one. Rude Boy by Rihanna.
Yep.
And then Need You Now, Lady Antebellum.
Man.
So, like, I mean, one of those three songs took you back now. As you're listening to us talk, any mention of one of those three of those, you go, okay, I remember now. I remember the life I was living at that time.
If you want to hear Hey Soul Sister, just pause this and go to your local grocery store.
Yeah, right.
It's probably
or playing. Get in the waiting room at your doctor.
Yeah.
Or
you'll find it.
Yeah.
It'll come to you.
There's probably a greeting card that'll play it when you open it at this point.
Man. Man, oh man. I got to see these guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to say got to. I saw these guys.
Sure.
At Google I/O.
Ah.
They were there and performed and, It wasn't as bad as I thought it
sure.
was.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not as embarrassed by it. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're a reason they were a huge band, right?
Yeah. There was lots of developers and people standing around singing their songs.
Right.
These guys were white hot. But
yeah.
Yeah, so this is where we are, May 2010. What is happening in the world of Android since we last talked about phones and software? 2.2 is another, you know, sounds like a maintenance release, a 0.2,
right?
But it's another major release
in
the big scheme of things. What is Google adding to Android at this time?
So USB and Wi-Fi tethering. So you could use your phone on the go to hook up to your laptop to have internet access.
If I'm a carrier, I hate that, right?
Right.
And I remember that. I remember that being like, wait a second. You're going to share this unlimited 3G plan with other devices, like a laptop?
Like, what about the hotspot connect cards
we
have?
We're trying to sell you these things,
and
you're using your unlimited plan.
Right.
And that kind of changed things. It was like, I remember them not wanting to do that.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, they never have been too outward or forthcoming with how to enable and do those things.
Right.
But this did open up the door to taking your laptop to a coffee shop or sitting in the park and saying, oh, I could get some work done. You just share your data connection from your phone. And that's a big thing.
It is.
That's
huge now.
Yeah. That's something that is often overlooked at its capability is what it provides.
Yeah.
Grabbing that 3G, 4G, now 5G, and sharing that with something else. Luke, do you remember how big of a deal it was that Adobe Flash was being added into Android?
Yes.
This is
huge.
This is like within days or weeks of Steve Jobs and Apple coming out saying they'll never touch it. They don't like it. It's terrible. And took a hard line stance.
Hard stance, yeah.
where almost immediately after Google I.O., they came out and basically said, yo, we're actually going to build support into it at the platform level.
Right.
Now, Adobe Flash, for those listening, no longer really exists.
Sure.
And it, you know, both sides of that argument kind of got it right.
Sure.
It did. It was slow and clunky, and this is prior to mobile-optimized websites and also the, you know, viewing something as a desktop experience. There was a lot of times you would go to, like, a restaurant and their menus or to scroll through things. If you went to your favorite music artist, a lot of stuff was Adobe Flash.
You couldn't see it or hear it.
Yeah, it would take forever to load because it was a large file. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as simple as just embedding something from the cloud
right.
and just kind of inserting. So Flash was – it was awesome to have. And I remember the eruption of the cheers of people saying, take that, Apple.
Yeah.
And people just really like, yeah.
It was cool because it was a way for Android, who was starting to get – a lot of flack for the, you know, the big F word for fragmentation. Mm-hmm. They were starting to get a lot of that, you know, there were the Apple ads of, hey, maybe my phone, your phone can do this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your Droid does not do this though.
Right.
Or does not.
But Flash lets these companies come out and say, we at least offer the full web.
Yeah.
You're at least getting every website.
Yeah.
You know, and truly on paper you could, but you know, in practice it was kind of wonky.
Sure.
You know, and scrolling left to right and up and down to kind of see what's going on and zooming in and out, because that was one of the things with Flash is a lot of times they were written at a certain resolution or dimension, so you couldn't quite interact with.
Yeah.
So it was a weird time of the web transitioning away from and towards other things.
Right.
But that was a major quill or arrow for Google to put in there for Froyo. Hit me with a few more Froyo features.
Support for Bluetooth car and desk docks. So, you know, we talked about it last episode. We talked about the exclusive Google Maps experience on the Droid. And, you know, we saw people were starting to use that device everywhere. And in your car, it was becoming a thing of, you know what, I can't listen to my radio, or I can't have my, you know, my turn-by-turn. I have to turn my phone volume way up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, okay, well, now you can connect.
Yeah.
Now you can do this in your car.
And you can hear your navigation. Along those lines, similarly, there was FM radio capability.
Right.
You know, so that was added into Android where, you know, most manufacturers never really, you never could just say all Samsung phones do this, all LG phones do that. But every once in a while you'll see something that promotes FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
This is the start of that capability of, if you plug in a pair of headphones, you're going to get FM radio.
Right.
Kind of use
your... Which was... It wasn't that big of a deal when it came out because we had things like Spotify.
We're starting to stream.
And Amazon MP3 and Pandora.
Yep.
And all of these things popping up where people were having their own music collection, be able to listen to stuff on demand.
Yeah.
But what you couldn't do on the go that really the FM capability helped out was sports.
Yeah.
I can listen to the game now.
Right.
I can be out fishing
and
hear the game and not have to bring a radio with me.
And I can put up, I remember actually specifically, because I was reviewing different phones at the time, I remember going to a drive-in
movie
theater and we ended up using a specific phone because it had FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to kind of basically plug in a Bluetooth speaker, a portable speaker, and we used that for the sound instead of the car stereo.
Right.
But we were able to sit outside in chairs without having to be in a car, but we used that FM radio to tune into.
Right.
Whereas before that, you could listen to your radio station's website if they offered that.
Right.
But it wasn't always the actual stream, and it wasn't necessarily live.
Mm-hmm.
This gave us the capability to listen to what was on my local radio right now.
Yeah.
Other
features you would have, so with the advent, and we'll get to some apps and stuff at this point, but you're getting more and more stuff on your phone, and it's, you had your home screen, and then you had your menu, which had all your stuff. They added the ability to have up to 5 panels on your home screen. Which, so you could swipe, you know, and have more options available than going into your menu.
Yep. If you wanted one screen to just kind of be like, here's where my games are, then I could swipe all the way to the right and get to my utilities like a calculator or clock or some of those.
Or, and widgets were becoming more popular too. So I could have my home screen be the weather and maybe my widget for my radio.
Yep.
And then I just swipe right and I have,
at a glance,
you know,
my messages
and my email button and all this stuff, and I
toggles don't have to, we talked about being able to toggle
Bluetooth
and Wi-Fi and things like that
as a
widget,
and so it just made the user experience better just by having the ease of access from the main screen of your device,
so that kind of brings me to the next point where we talk about, you know, these phones are starting to have more and more apps on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hardware hasn't been, up until recently, hasn't been progressing too much in terms of how much space you have.
Mm-hmm.
So as the Android market continues to build out and we're now beyond that wait and see, and you're starting to see companies that are like, Amazon says, yeah, we're going to put out a Kindle app.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, cool, I'm going to download my books. But as you start to do all these different things, you start to run out of space.
Right.
And that was a big thing of like, oh, crap, man. I actually have to uninstall this. And we see this with video game consoles, too.
Right.
It was like, oh, I got to get an external hard drive, you know, and move some games to it or install that. This was the point where we were able to install apps on an external storage card.
Right.
Which we take for granted today.
Yeah.
We don't even really think about because there's so much storage and things can be run from the cloud and, you know, you don't need the actual local storage. But there was a point where you had to kind of figure out what suite of apps or games were installed.
Right.
Because that micro SD card was really relegated for photos and music.
Right.
You couldn't use it for really, well, can I just put some games on that? Like now you can.
Right.
And that's a big kind of a watershed moment for Android.
Well, and it was cool because, you know, in at least for people like us who were constantly checking out different devices, you could put those games on the memory card and then just swap the memory card most of the time. Sometimes, depending on the manufacturer, they didn't, you know, like the storage format of certain devices. But for the most part, you could swap out and say, oh, okay, this game looks cool on this one, or, oh, this screen is brighter, or this screen, you know.
Yeah.
You could start doing things like that, which to the normal consumer wasn't a huge deal, but it definitely was a huge deal as far as, oh, my phone only has 512 internal memory. I get, you know, 20 apps on there and I'm running slow.
Yep. And it also was, you know, the Play Store was the Android market and we didn't have quite the tools or the capabilities there to kind of go back and find previously installed stuff and hunting for things that were like, wait a second, what was that one that I had on that other phone? Like, just by being able to kind of keep at least some of those files, so that if you ever did install Kindle again, it knew to look for this folder for those books, or to kind of help you get on your way quicker with a new device. Luke, real quick, we'll wrap up here on software. We had this episode, we hadn't done this really on some of the other ones, but this is a point where Android apps start to kind of become a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't this is exclusive to iPhone, but now it's kind of like, oh, yep, we're actually, we think Android's polished enough. We've written it for that platform. Because that one of the reasons developers wouldn't do that is they would go iPhone first is it's one platform, and they only have to write for one piece of hardware. Mm-hmm. They don't have to write something that says, well, it could be this screen display. It could be this camera mm-hmm. resolution or this type of processor, where now it's, hey, you know what? We actually, you know, we might not launch it at the same time as the iPhone app, but we have this game.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming for Android.
Right.
One of the biggest, and this will also date, go back to that pop culture thing.
Right.
One of the biggest games to be introduced at that time or was popular at that time is Angry Birds.
Yeah.
So that's another one of those properties that feel like they've been around forever.
Right.
If you've got a kid who is, you know, 10 or younger, they don't know a life without it.
Right.
Angry Birds has always existed.
Right.
And this is when that shows up mm-hmm. and really starts to kind of take off.
Yeah.
Any other apps here? I mean, we've got a few listed.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Kindle for Android. Mm-hmm. Things like Evernote. There were some other fun games like Paper Toss. You know, we're just tossing paper into a trash can.
Waste basket, right. Yeah. Like, perfect time wasters.
Yeah.
Of, like, just pick this game up. They're potty games.
Yeah.
They're the kind of game
And then there was, like, with Flash, you know, Flash support, you had things like the Talking Tomcat.
Yeah. And going to websites and playing those games.
Those Flash games.
Yeah.
Or being able to pull up Homestar Runner on your phone.
Right.
Because you couldn't before.
Which still existed.
Right.
You know, at that point was still, people still talked about.
Right. And then one of the biggest ones that I think kind of paved the way for a lot of, like, you know, the social location-based stuff we do is Foursquare.
Man, I missed that time period.
Right?
The one that I went with was nowhere as big as, uh-huh. but I loved it. It was called Gowalla.
I loved Gowalla.
With being able to
get badges and stuff.
Get badges. Mm-hmm. You could become basically the king or whatever it yeah. was of a place.
Yeah.
And you were basically, with this in Foursquare, you were just sharing where you were.
Yeah.
You would just go somewhere and you could actually take a picture or check into a place and mm-hmm. say, I'm here.
Right. And it was cool because you know, you could say, yeah, I'm here. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I saw that you checked in over there. Oh, I'm actually pretty close.
Yep.
I'll meet up with you.
Yeah, you could follow friends.
Right.
And like, oh, Luke said such and such. We should go.
Right. But also this, you know, as the popularity grew, you started to hear these talks of,
I don't want my phone.
Yeah. I don't really like that people know where I am.
I don't want to share all of this.
Yeah. But then you had businesses that were like, hey, you know, coffee shop X, king of Foursquare, gets a free coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. It was gaming. I remember TGI Fridays. Mm-hmm. I had the most check-ins there, and I would get there. It wasn't even close after a while.
Yeah.
Because one, you have to know about the platform,
right.
So you have to use it,
right.
Kind of, you know, but I would go there and check in, and it was just like, man, I have a badge, you
yeah.
know, and you had like a passport, you get stamps from places,
and then you would start, it was interesting because after so much of using it, you'd go around and see people who were the king, and you're like, ah, that dude's the king here too.
Yeah.
You start, people you don't even know, you're going, ah, yep. I recognize that name.
Yeah.
I just bumped him out of the yep. you know, Anytime Fitness.
I remember being able to check into places from my house mm-hmm. that were within about a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
And these are places I wouldn't even go, but it's right. like, why is Scott checking into Rite Aid every day? What is my dude doing? you know,
this farming kingdoms.
Yeah, it's like it's right. It ever offers something to the right. top couple of people.
Yeah,
that's mine, baby. Yeah, that brings up the conversation, you know, for another day of privacy,
right?
And being able to say, well, you know, it's similar to what people would say about Facebook in its early days in MySpace. Like, what do you do with it? Well, I let people know I'm here.
Right.
Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
Why do you need to tell people what book you're reading today? Right. Or that you had this for lunch?
Yeah.
Because like, well, I can, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, because it makes a game out of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, that was – Foursquare was a big, big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one that we have here, like you mentioned, Evernote, that gave you the ability to kind of, like, keep all of your notes in one place
mm-hmm.
where it was like, well, I like to take pictures mm-hmm. of things. Well, I actually do more of a post-it note approach or tasks, or I like to do voice recordings. You know, right. It was kind of like, hey, doesn't matter. Just kind of throw it on there.
Yeah, and the cool thing was it was – you had access anywhere then. It's not just like – oh, I took this picture on my phone. Hold on. Let me go grab my phone.
Yeah. You can pull it up from a website.
Yeah, I can pull it up on the computer then and be like, oh, this is the picture I took on my phone.
Yeah. Scan documents at your work PC mm-hmm. and then pull them up on your phone.
Right.
Like, that's just stuff we take for granted.
I mean, right.
That's stuff that's kind of into Google Docs now and sure. Microsoft 365. But this was an app that was like, oh, wait a second. We actually put all these post-it notes and did this project mapping at work. I'm going to take some pictures. I can actually pull them up from wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that was.
And annotate them and,
yeah.
and can mess with them on the go.
Yep. Luke, let's talk briefly about a couple of phones
sure.
that came out around this time. And these were two, they're pretty different from
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, they are.
But these aren't necessarily moving the needle forward in terms of hardware.
No.
But these are also just for the sake of what were kind of the devices of the day.
Well, I think what they did more than anything is they gave Android to a wider audience.
Yeah.
They were not bad phones by any means, but they were cheaper phones.
They weren't constant flagship pushing.
Right.
It was, wait a second, this is more for the masses. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be for the early adopters and enthusiasts,
right.
The fanboys, the people who have to have the latest. Let's put a couple things out of it, a little bit more mass market friendly.
Right. And those people then can go, oh, I have a Droid
too. Yeah, I've got a Galaxy phone.
Yeah.
Now you have an LG Vortex.
Yeah. The LG Vortex.
Luke, what did that phone look like? Hardware wise.
Yeah, I mean It's really not bad when you look at you think about the ones we've talked about over the last couple episodes. This had a 600 megahertz Qualcomm CPU. It's mm-hmm. pretty standard. A 3.2 inch screen, so a little smaller, a little bit smaller of a device, but it was still 320 by 480 resolution. Not mm-hmm. bad with a smaller screen that actually looked pretty good.
Right.
2 gigs of RAM. So that's
pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have that in the Droid.
Nope.
We don't have that in the Nexus One.
Nope.
Or even the Galaxy S.
Right.
Like, that was like, wow. That's
2 gigs internal.
We're talking laptop capability now. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, what's the point in buying a laptop if I can do this with my phone?
Right. And then it had 170 megabytes of storage.
So, which is kind of weird, right?
It's really low. Feels really low.
Yeah. Comparatively, and is like you stepped forward so much in memory.
Right.
Did you forget about the
right.
the actual storage?
It had a good battery, a 1500 milliamp battery, and a 3.5 megapixel camera, which was, you know, pretty standard the first flagships. So it was cool. It was like, oh yeah, my phone has a 3 megapixel camera just like your, you know, high-end phone does.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
It does what I need it to do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we see a lot of people, you know, we might look at and go, oh, this guy's good. Why would you buy that? Like, but those people are like, because it's all I need.
Yeah, I don't I really just want do cameras. Yeah.
I don't care about playing Angry Birds.
Right.
I'm trying to find the price at the time. LG had also done some other devices at that time, the Optimus line. Remember that?
Yep.
But the, if I'm reading this correctly, I believe the Vortex was $79 after a $100 rebate and a 2-year agreement to Verizon.
So, you know, that's half the price of getting into the Droid.
Yeah. And more than half. For all practical purposes, most of the features
that people pretty much.
Like, I want to do that. Okay. Yeah. Can I take pictures? Can I email people? Yeah.
All the same capabilities, all the same software.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go over to T-Mobile and they came out with a banger.
Yeah. I mean, they had thrown a handful of Android phones out from day one. And they seemed to have a pretty tight relationship with HTC. And this is another one of those that they had done the MyTouch line. There was the MyTouch 3G. And then do you remember the Fender edition?
Yes.
That they did for that as well?
Yeah.
But then this was the MyTouch 4G.
Yes.
So now we're actually getting into the world of 4G speeds.
Right.
And carriers are, you know, at this point, I think maybe, I might be wrong, but I think this is the year, maybe 4 or 5 months before, when Verizon announced its 4G network.
Yes.
At CES.
Yeah.
If I
And T-Mobile had 4G, but only in bigger markets.
Select markets.
So it wasn't nationwide yet for them, and they were rolling it out. But this phone, the MyTouch 4G, had a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor. It had a 3.8-inch screen, so slightly bigger than the Nexus One. And a 480 by 800 resolution. I mean, it was a nice-looking device.
Yeah, and it was, again, kind of like it had some of the design language of the Nexus One and had that kind of like, oh, there's some curves without being, you know, like a like a pebble kind of device, but it was like, oh, this actually looks like the finished version of something.
Right.
And it has, you know, all of the capabilities, and it's also prettier than the one that my friend bought the year before.
Right.
This one was $200 with a contract.
Yeah.
So it's the same price as what, you know, you were getting out of most flagship kind of phones.
But it had, it had more. So yeah, if you continue down with the specs, it was 4 gigs of RAM.
Which was bonkers. At that rate, we would be in petabytes of RAM today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wait, everybody else is like half a gigabyte, maybe two with the LG, and now we're talking four?
Four. Like, yeah, we're talking twice as much RAM with twice as much of a processor.
Yep.
It's, you know, it was incredible. And then you throw in 768 megabytes of internal storage.
Yes. So it was commensurate. It was like, well, we're going to move that forward. We'll move the storage forward, too. I don't remember if – I don't think there was expandable storage.
I don't think there was, no.
But that felt like, well, what would I need it for?
Yeah.
Like
that's a lot.
Yeah. Like if I'm just putting apps and I don't care about music, I'm just streaming on Pandora anyways. You know, that's the kind of thing that, you know – that's a.
Now the only only thing that was kind of weird was the 1400 milliamp battery that, and I think it was probably, if I had to guess, just to keep the size of the device down.
Yeah.
But you had this super fast processing power, and you know the battery. Granted, we weren't using our phones nearly as much as we are now, right?
Right.
But
still at that point, when you start throwing that much memory and that screaming processor and you're pushing a much bigger screen and higher resolution, this is when you start to have these conversations of, dude, my phone is dead by noon.
Right.
It's I get up and I play on it a little bit and I got to charge this thing 3-4 times a day.
Right.
So 1400 was kind of like, oh, man, you sure?
Yeah.
You don't?
Yeah.
You could go bigger. Other people are starting to get bigger than this.
Right. And then, you know, 5-megapixel camera, just like the Nexus One. And, but this one had a VGA
front facing
selfie cam.
Yeah. Which VGA, I mean, you're still talking low resolution, but the ability, again, to take a picture of yourself without having to guess what your image looked like, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, this is a pretty well-rounded device, and it just comes back to, if I remember some of the chatter at the time, it was just kind of like, yeah, but you got to get it through T-Mobile.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's a good phone, but it's only available here.
Right.
So were that at a Verizon for $200, I feel like it would have, you know, might have seen HTC go on a different
sure.
trajectory.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's the T-Mobile MyTouch 4G, which is going to kind of, you know, again, start to look for 4G capabilities in devices and expectations with carriers.
Yeah.
As it starts to roll out, you know, it's like where we are with 5G even today is, do I need it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's super fast, but how fast do I really need to go?
Right.
What's the point of that? But
right.
we're going to start to turn to the cloud mm-hmm. and rely on, you know, things like, you know, real-time caller ID that mm-hmm. it can look you up and figure out who's calling you and deliver the business name
right.
without you having to have them as a contact.
So right.
that's where 3G into 4G becomes like, okay, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
I see why. So, yeah, man, this was I remember this that particular phone in that particular time was it was a fun one for Android because it was just kind of like you really start to see them putting things into devices and into the platform that wouldn't show up for another year or so in iPhone
mm-hmm.
that you're like, you know, oh man, Android's had that forever. You
right.
know, it's like, again, consumers generally don't care until somebody shows them that it can do this or here's an easy way to do that. But Android really starts to move things forward in terms of capabilities. And it's starting to look a little bit more like it's not just a tinkerer's device. It's not one of those things where, yeah, it's got more capability, but you got to be a hacker to know how to use it. You know, it's one of those. No, you don't have to be a big nerd. It appeals to other people.
Right.
You know, so that's where we are. I think that's going to do it for me. Any last thoughts, Luke?
No. It's starting to get really interesting for Android from here on out.
Yeah.
For
the releases may slow down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And we start for a couple of generations. We'll see pretty heavy additions to things,
mm-hmm.
but they start to space them out.
Right,
and then more specifically, as we move forward, we get into a couple of like really drastic changes
yeah.
in terms of UI.
Yeah.
And that's where you look at it and go, ooh, that 2.2 phone looks really outdated.
Right.
Compared to my whatever. So,
yeah.
The next one coming up will be 2.3, which mm-hmm. is sounds like a small one, but we'll move into Gingerbread
yeah.
on the next week's episode. But that's going to do it for me. Luke, this is always fun.
Always.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
See you later.